from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This.
That's right, baby. We've done it. Ladies, gentlemen, I have seen the beam in person. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. We've done it. I want to thank the Academy. I want to thank.
Keep on fighting.
Yeah, I sure will. I want to thank my parents. I want to thank you guys in the chatty house, everybody listening out there on the radio, on the free Odyssey app. Thank you so much for your support. James, of course, couldn't have done it without you. Everybody down with the Sacramento Kings, you know, from De'Aaron Fox to Domantas Sabonis to Malik Monk to Keon Ellis, down to the PR staff, our guy Michael. Shannon, everybody out there doing work, thank you so much. This was it was a great night last night at Golden One Center. I got to see a beam lighting in person for the very, very first time, and it was a magical moment.
All of that, and you forgot it. To turn the audio on the sound on the stream.
no, I didn't. I just had it muted.
Oh,
that's my bad.
All
people
right.
on the radio heard it though.
That's right.
All right,
the greatest. Intro, cold intro to the Insiders.
It's actually probably good because I had the music playing on the stream, which would have been bad news bears.
Yeah,
that's fine.
All right.
Anyways,
I love it.
Yeah, no, we did it, guys. We saw a beam lit last night with the Kings thrashing the Milwaukee Bucks 129-94, and man, I gotta tell you, the pageantry that comes with the whole light the beam thing was a lot of fun. What a great way to end a basketball game. I think you could cut the interview down.
Okay.
It feels like people are ready. People are jazzed up. I think maybe you can do the interview after. Just a small critique. I don't think I was expecting that because it's light the beam, light the beam. You got thousands, tens of thousands of people in there chanting light the beam.
Yep.
Everybody knows what's coming. They wheel the thing out, and there's a big purple button. You can't miss it. You get the countdown, slam the button.
It's pretty electric.
It was. Like, it was super fun.
Like, the beam shooting up to the ceiling is amazing. Like, everything is pretty cool.
Yeah, man. I enjoyed it.
I think
I'm glad I went.
A short interview. That I think they only do 2 to 3 questions. Scott Moak, like, hanging out with Keon Ellis last night. Yeah, the pageantry of lighting the beam is kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I'm glad I did it, and the curse is over. It was not me.
I actually, there was a point where I said, they're up 19, Kyle, you need to leave now.
You did.
And then there were some fans that came over, found me, and said, Kyle needs to leave now.
He's gotta go.
Kyle has to leave now. They said, we're having so much fun. Kyle has got to go.
Well, look, in the second quarter, the Kings extended the lead. And I told you at halftime, I was like, I feel good. I feel good about where they're at. This is not one of those games that they were playing with so much force for the first 24 minutes. that there was never a point in the first quarter or the second quarter, the first half, where I thought, man, this thing is going to flip and this game is going to get dicey. I thought they had a really good plan for Dame. And if Dame can't go light it up, as good as Giannis is, and he was unbelievable, we'll talk about him in a second, but if Dame can't light it up and go for 25, 30 points, the Bucks have no means of getting back into that basketball game. And you saw Giannis, he gave it his effort. Down the court in three steps, answering a bucket with a quick bucket. But the only time it really got dicey was in the third quarter. When the Bucks got it to, what, they get it to 15 and had possession?
Either that or they got it to, it's possible they got it to 14.
They might have gotten it to 14 and had possession.
Yeah.
Where if they hit a three, it's like, oh man, now it's, but they missed whatever, they missed a three, and the Kings came back down, got a bucket, regained control of the game. If the Bucks had hit the three at that point, I think we would have seen a timeout, and your boy would have been out of there.
You would have left.
I would have been gone, dude.
Yeah, I would have like escorted you out. Yeah, there was a point where it was like, okay, this thing's getting a little dicey. I blame Kyle. It is what it is. But like, you're a jinx until you're not.
Yeah.
And I think we've now broken.
Yeah.
Broken the jinx. Kyle is now allowed to stay as long as he wants in every game from here on out.
Yeah.
If there's someone else out there who's jinxing the Kings,
It's on you.
It is on you now.
It's on you now.
It's on you. That stink is on you.
It's not my fault anymore.
It's not Kyle's fault.
Oh, man, what a freaking performance last night, man. It was just the type of game, and I will say this, and this is twofold, right? These two things can be the same, or these two things can coexist.
Okay.
The Bucks missed a ton of open looks in the early going. I think Malik Beasley wound up shooting 2 of 11. And he's shooting it at 40%+ this year.
He finished 3 of 11 from three.
3 of 11. Yep. And he missed a lot of wide open ones. Giannis made a couple of slick passes, man. Pat Connaughton missed a couple of open ones.
Mm-hmm.
Dame missed.
He's 1 of 6. 2 of 12 from the field.
Yeah, man. He was not good. And we'll talk more about that later. That was of the Kings doing. But of the open threes, the Bucks had chances to get into that game. But to the Kings' credit, and this is where these things can coexist, the Bucks left the door open, and instead of the Kings going, oh, hey, can we maybe, they just kicked the door off the hinges. And the Bucks were missing, the Kings were making. And that was it.
Yeah, the formula for success is pretty simple. Go 18 of 40 from three. Like, if you do that, and while holding your opponent to 7 of 39, you're going to win every game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, like, really, the way the Kings came out early, and we'll get into this discussion because I think you and I have some debating to do over a couple of the players here.
Yeah, we do.
But I thought the way that Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter came out punching and hitting threes was like, oh, we got a ball game.
Yeah.
We can
put a pin in the Kevin Huerter thing for the moment.
Yeah.
But when Harrison Barnes, I went in and I, this is not, I didn't win anything in Prize Picks last night, but when I saw that Keegan Murray was out, I immediately went in and found whatever Harrison Barnes' point total was. It was 12.5. I'm going more than that because you know he's going to be more aggressive when Keegan's not on the court. And when Harrison Barnes is knocking down threes, and then when he's putting the ball on the deck and he's getting to the rim and he's getting into the paint, he's an effective player for Sacramento. And I think you saw that last night, particularly on the offensive end.
Yeah, there was even two bunnies he missed early in the game, where he got all the way to the rim. So he hit a couple of threes, and then all of a sudden he started going to the rim, and you're like, hey, look, Harrison Barnes is super active. That's what the Kings need. They need guys coming out and just, you know, putting on a show when they can, like within their, like, be a star in your role, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hey, I wanted to ask, did Giannis live up to the hype? Because I know that was one of the things that you hadn't got to see Giannis play live.
Yeah, he did. He really did, man. I was obviously the Bucks got smoked, but Giannis 30 points on 10 of 17, and just whether they were hunting a mismatch or whether he was going to work on the perimeter or whether he was taking the ball out of the basket and getting down the court in three steps and making some spin move to lay it in. He had one where he missed a bunny just went, and it was just sheer force of will, just went, I'm grabbing this rebound, brings it back up, and just hammers it down on top of three Kings. It was like, dude, there's so few players I've ever seen who are capable of doing most of what Giannis did on the court last night.
Yeah, there's a handful of guys like over my career that it's like, oh, you want to see play. Mm-hmm. Like, again, Yao Ming was the largest man like I think I've ever seen. Outside of like standing next to Taco Fall. Taco Fall is gigantic. Like gigantic.
But Yao could play.
Yeah, exactly.
And play, let me check. NBA basketball, Yao can play.
Yeah. I mean, they don't just fit like, you know, we always say, you got to duck to get through the doorway. Of course they have to duck to get through a doorway. A doorway is usually six foot eight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they got to duck through to get through a doorway. But Yao and Taco are so wide that they have to duck and turn sideways.
Yeah.
It's just like crazy how big of a human they are. So that's cool to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you're always looking for something that's different. Mm-hmm. And in Giannis is just like the body is just so different than anything that we've seen. It's just, and same with Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sure, you can make, you can compare him to players from the 80s or whatever. And oh, like he kind of looks like this, kind of looks like whatever. But no one has ever done what he does, like on a basketball court. And so you want to take these things in because it's kind of cool. It's kind of interesting to see something that you may never see again. That like if, you know, it's a blessing to be able to go to a game every single night and see something.
Yeah, man. It just, the thing that's so shocking about Giannis in person is A, just how imposing he is physically.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, like you said, just a completely different body type. We've seen tall players who can handle the ball a little bit, but he is tall and the way his body has filled out, and then the way he just glides, even most guys, there's a little bit of plodding to their game when they're that big. Even if you're like, man, that guy can move, that guy can get out on the perimeter, that guy, like somebody like Vucevic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, hey, he can move a little bit for a big, but he's still, there's a plotting to his game. There's none of that with Giannis.
No. And no, it's just silky smooth.
A man, I was, no, he very much lived up to the hype. Dame didn't.
No.
I was talking to Chris Biederman last night before the game, and he goes, I totally like got caught up in all the Giannis stuff. I completely forgot that Dame is on the Bucks now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd been to a Kings Blazers game before, but Dame did not play in that game.
Oh.
Several years back.
Okay.
So I'd never seen Dame either, and boy, that was disappointing.
I covered Dame in the Western Conference Finals in Portland.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to Portland quite a few times for games and covered so much of Dame's career. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
There were a lot of people there. I was shocked at how many people were there specifically for Dame last night. I know he's an Oakland guy. I know he's a Northern California guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But when his name got announced, there were like cheers, like audible cheers in the crowd.
I like, you know, the Bucks have a fan base, a traveling fan base. So it's good to see. I like when there's opposing fans in the building.
Yeah,
like,
as long as it's not
like
annoying.
Like tonight, like there could be a Lakers takeover, right? You always worry about the takeover. But like when it's Philly, when it's Boston, when it's like the Bucks, like when they're true fans and cheering for their group, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like you want that. You don't just want it silent when bad things happen. You want some back and forth. You want people to feel like it is a contest, not just a one-sided thing.
Yeah, yeah, man, for sure. But Dame last night, not a great night in large part because of what Sacramento did. And I want to make sure that when we talk about Dame, we talk about Giannis, whatever, all of this conversation comes back to the Kings took it to the number two team in the East last night in a game that they didn't need to have, but every we've talked about the need to stack wins and the need to start kind of putting some strong performances together. The reason last night was such a big deal to me was they didn't go up by 25 and then win by 7. They didn't go up by 25 and then have the game in the balance in the final moments. They put it on a team and then slammed the door shut, locked it, bought a deadbolt, installed it, locked that. Like they just ensured that Milwaukee had no chance to get back into that game, and that was super impressive.
I agree.
Yeah, man. All right. Let's dive further into this game with 6 quick thoughts. That is coming up next. We are hanging out with you till noon. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. 100.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, he's James. I'm Kyle. Talking Kings blowout victory last night over the Milwaukee Bucks. Sacramento 129. Milwaukee 94 points. 38 second half points for one of the best offenses in the NBA post All-Star break. It's impressive, man. Very, very impressive.
Super impressive. I mean, that's the game you needed right there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's a get-right game, but it's certainly a game that matters tremendously in the standings, because I think you very easily could have seen a three-game, four-game losing streak right here.
Yeah, man. I'm not going to be bamboozled into thinking that this team is suddenly something more than what we've seen through, what are we at now, 64 games?
Mm-hmm.
But if you were drawing up a type of win last night, that's the one you would have drawn up. And let's dive further into that with James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Really well.
Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know.
Yeah, he does.
Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
All right, six quick thoughts could be sponsored by you.
That's right.
If you were so inclined. James Hamm, number one.
Red Velvet. It's been a while since we used that nickname, but Kevin Huerter came out looking for a shot. He hit the Bucks for 11 points on 3 of 8 shooting from long range. Out of 5 rebounds, 2 assists. He looked a lot more like the player that we saw last year, although there were some holes to his game. Defensively, he struggled a little bit. Pat Connaughton came in and got a couple of quick buckets on him, although Pat Connaughton really didn't end up being that much of an impact on the game. But I thought it was a good start for Kevin Huerter. He looked more like himself shooting the 3 ball with confidence and clarity.
Sure. Number 2.
Black Falcon.
Better.
Was this a flashback to the 2022-23 season? Like Huerter, came out firing. He attacked the basket. The veteran posted 16 points, 4-7 from deep, grabbed 6 rebounds. And I also thought his defense was some of the best he's played.
Mm-hmm. Super active.
Yeah, I mean, he was on Brooke Lopez most of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Just fighting with Brooke Lopez.
Yeah.
And the fact that Brooke Lopez can't post up and back down Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, dude, Brooke Lopez got nothing at this
point. It's like
a
huge indictment on a 7'2" dude.
Yeah, he's been a good player for a long time.
Yeah.
And his ability to stretch the floor, you know, I'm sure helps Milwaukee in a lot of ways. But he's like you just said, he's not the player he was even a couple of years ago. It's not a good night for him last night.
No, and we watched him shoot a whole bunch of threes in pregame, and it was like, oh man, this dude's gonna light the Kings up. And then he just didn't do it.
No.
Like, he's 1 of 4 from 3, 2 of 7 from the field. He had a block or two, one block, and it was big. Like, it was a nice block. But yeah, Outside of that, there just wasn't a lot to be impressed by.
No. No, and that had a lot to do with what Harrison Barnes did defensively. Yeah, I thought Harrison had a really, really good game last night. No Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes stepped in and did a really, really nice job.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3.
Rough assignment. With Keegan Murray sideline, Keon Ellis got the start and lined up across from future Hall of Famer Damian Lillard. Ellis was spectacular.
Dude, so freaking good.
He helped hold Damian Lillard to 10 points on 2 of 12 shooting, and he scored 7 points on his own. He basically matched Damian Lillard. And that's not something I thought that he could do. 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals. He just brings an energy, Kyle.
Dude, and it wasn't, oh man, he made Dame work, but ultimately Dame figured it out. And yeah, he had 22, but 18 of them were in the second half. No, Dame never figured it out. And that was largely just Keon Ellis hounding him.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kings did some different stuff. Mike Brown talked about it post-game. They switched up their coverages a little bit. They went zone. They went, you know, man, I'm crediting Keon Ellis is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
He was just awesome. And not in the way that, how am I articulating this? Help me. It not in the way that, oh, okay, no, he did it. He did about as well as you can, but Dame still got his, like, no, man, he just shut him down.
No, he was good.
He was incredible.
I also want to point out there was a game planning thing that they did where the Kings would, they knew how the Bucks were going to set screens to get Dame on somebody and how they like to get Dame to a certain spot. They like sort of inverted their defense. So Keon Ellis didn't start on Dame. He was the on the third guy.
Right.
So after the screen, and then all of a sudden it's Keon Ellis on Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
And I thought that that was brilliant coaching.
Really, really smart.
Yeah.
Number four.
Too small. De'Aaron Fox went at the Bucks all night long, including defensive specialist Patrick Beverley, who likes to tell everybody they're too small. He in this game was too small. De'Aaron Fox, oh, I messed that one up. He finished with 29 points, right? He had a good night. 29 points on 11 of 17 shooting, 4 of 5 from 3, 7 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals. He was an all-star.
He was great last night. He was the best. Yep. He was the best player on the floor, I thought. And the thing I really liked was, A, he went 4 of 5 from 3, which is great. But he got to the mid-range. He got the looks he likes and didn't mess around on that. 11 to 17. You love to see that from De'Aaron.
Yep.
Number five.
Number five. More of the same. Domantas Sabonis set a new franchise record for consecutive double-doubles, notching his 47th straight. Finished tonight with stellar 22 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists against a guy who was in the running for Defensive Player of the Year last year in Brook Lopez. Torched him. Dunked on his head twice.
Twice. Got him twice.
On his head.
Got him twice.
Amazing.
That was crazy. Number six.
All cylinders. Malik Monk did Malik Monk things. He went at the Bucks. 17 of his 25 points came in the first half. He was chirping and brought vibes.
It was great.
The entire time.
It was great. It was so great.
Yes, it was.
Jay Crowder stopping by his press conference. Telling him to talk his stuff after the game.
That was great.
Because you know Malik was getting after it the entire game. Yeah, no, man. He's been on quite a run lately. 25-5-5 from your sixth man is something a lot of teams will take.
Yeah, I think
excellent.
I think all of them will take it.
Can I give a seventh quick thought?
Oh, yeah.
Just one time for Andre Jackson Jr.'s dunk.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy crap, dude.
That was one of the craziest things I've ever seen.
I've never seen a person jump that high.
I don't know.
He was like chest at the rim.
That was wild.
He almost missed the dunk because he was too high.
Yes.
And then the Kings bench reaction was really, really funny.
It was really funny. And then De'Aaron said he like smacked Kevin Herter in the back. That he's like, Kevin, yeah, you know they're going to pan right to us.
Yeah. Kevin Herter like jumped up and walked off.
Yes.
The whole like, ugh. That was funny. But you'd rather that happen in a game where you're up by 35 than down by 35. It's excusable when you're up by that many. If you're going to have it, because that was a genuinely, because remember, these guys are all basketball fans. These guys love the sport more than anybody. Yeah. And to see a play like that, where that wasn't just a typical, oh man, that guy got dunked on. That was just the feat of athleticism to get up as high as Andre Jackson Jr. did was unbelievable.
My favorite part is all of us were scrambling. We're like, who in the hell was that?
I was talking to a couple of friends on the concourse when that happened, and I was like, stop. I need to Google who this is.
Yes.
Because I have no idea, because on the scoreboard it just says Jackson Jr.
What if I told you he's a 6'6" shooting guard?
Stop.
6'6" minimum. Like I don't even like, well, I think he's 6'10" with his hair.
That's a good point.
But what in the world?
Got a 87-inch vertical, apparently.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Max Vert. I don't...
Good reason to stay for the whole game, by the way.
Yes. He was the sixth pick of the second round in the 2023 NBA draft by the Orlando Magic.
Oh, UConn legend, sure.
Yeah. I have no idea who he is. I had never seen him play basketball before that I can remember. Maybe I have.
I have never heard of that person until yesterday.
But that dunk is like one of the best dunks of the year. It was nuts.
If you haven't seen it, go find it.
Yeah, and it was off a miss,
yeah,
right?
Like
it was a putback.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not exaggerating when I say his chest was at the rim.
His chest was at the rim.
Crazy.
Yes.
All right. Coming up next, let's look ahead to tonight's game because it is a big one. Against the Los Angeles Lakers of Anaheim. We will talk about that And we will have a Jiffy Lube gift certificate, a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate for you, and your chance to enter to win a Sacramento Kings jersey. All that coming up next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I'm Kyle Madsen. He is James Hamm. Nice win for the Kings last night, but they turn right back around this evening, and they take on the Los Angeles Lakers at Golden 1 Center in a pretty sizable matchup, not just because sweeping the Lakers in the season series would be a little chef's kiss moment for this season, but the Lakers very quietly just two games back of the Kings. That, I mean, I get 2.5, I guess, because the Kings have the tiebreaker. But the Lakers, three games back in the loss column. This is a game where you can't put a nail on the coffin of the Lakers climbing up into the 7 seed, but you can really, really make it tough for them with less than 20 games to go, and you can put them four games back in the loss column.
Yeah, the big thing right now is that the Kings are three games up in the loss column on them. And I'll say this, Kyle, if you factor in the fact that the Kings have the season series,
right,
the Lakers would need to beat the Kings by 4 down the stretch.
Yeah.
Right.
They'd need to gain a lot of games.
Yeah. So that's a big deal. But the Kings are also only 4 games behind the Clippers for the 4 seed,
yeah,
in the loss column. And that's something too, where look, they can still climb in this thing. There's 18 games left. You have 11 at home, 7 on the road. There's plenty of climbing the Kings can do over the next 2 weeks if they take care of business. You got to throw away all these things like, oh, you're second out of a back-to-back. Well, we said they started the season 0-4 on back-to-backs. I think they're now like 5-4, 5-5. 5-5?
5-5 now.
5-5 on back-to-backs.
6-4?
5-5? We'll have to look.
They've been way better since starting 0-4.
Yes, they've been way better. And this, the last time that they won was the first time that they had actually swept the back-to-back.
Right.
So maybe they're finding something here and they're building something. But yeah, every win matters at this point. And you gotta focus on the team in front of you, which is still a very dangerous Lakers team. But this is an opportunity to just dunk them.
How many times have we gone into the first night of a back-to-back with the Kings this year and gone, this is the, you have to smoke this team so your guys can rest and get ready for the second night of the back-to-back? I would not, of all the back-to-backs this year, I would not have circled the Milwaukee Bucks as the team that they're going to blow out so badly that they can limit Sabonis to 34 minutes, De'Aaron Fox to 32, and Malik Monk to 28.
That's pretty good.
Where those guys aren't playing, they're not all playing 30-plus, 37-plus minutes.
No, that's what you have to do. I mean, a second night of a back. I mean, the
and
one
it could have been a lot fewer. Mike Brown left those guys in a long time.
He did, and Fox actually laced a three late.
Yeah,
the JaVale McGee three.
Oh,
yeah,
dude,
JaVale.
Come on,
JaVale.
Come on.
I think there was like 18
so
on the
exciting.
Clock too. there was
hey,
a lot of time.
If you're gonna let it rip, that's a good time to do it. No, so they were in the game last night until a little bit more than midway through the fourth quarter. But A, that's Mike Brown sending a message of like, hey, close this game the right way. Show me that you know how to do this. And also, those aren't super high stress minutes, so I don't really count them as on the same scale as if it had been a tie game down the stretch. So I think that that's puts the Kings in a good spot tonight to cap off a season sweep of the Lakers. And it, I guess it's a tough matchup for LA. I think they just have a really, really hard time guarding Sacramento.
No, I totally agree. And I mean, you look at the matchup between Sabonis and AD. I mean, he's 10-0. I mean, 9-0. He's going for a 10-0 for his career against Anthony Davis.
That's so crazy.
It is crazy. And the fact that it's a home and home back to back, that actually helps. Like, I think it does help. The Kings have not been great at home, but this is an opportunity where, look, you went home, you slept in your own bed. Come back, you see what you got. You know, can you bring it? You know, there aren't any easy ones from here on out.
I'm really interested to see what we get from Anthony Davis tonight. Do we get this motivated? Because look, I'm really on the fence about Davis. I understand he's great. I understand he's going to the Hall of Fame, but I don't know that there's a player in the top 75. That NBA all-time top 75. I don't know that there's an active player who I watch and am disappointed by more often than Anthony Davis.
That's funny. I mean, like, look, I think for as many times as you're disappointed, there are other games where you're just like, oh my gosh.
We have the other night, 27, 25, 5-5?
Yes.
Like, oh my God.
Yes.
It's nuts.
I know, I have him in fantasy basketball.
That's why, like, I said, I know, I'm not denying that he's great. Like, yes. I understand it. He is going to go to the Hall of Fame, and he should. It is, and I'm sure it's anecdotal, because he killed Golden State in the playoffs last year, but even in the playoffs last year, he'd have this great game and then followed up with 13 points, 6 boards. Next game, 30-14.
Yeah.
Next game, 8-6. Like, man, what? It's just the inconsistency. So I'm really interested to see tonight, while, you know, the focus will for us will be on the Sacramento Kings and A, what they look like on the second night of a back-to-back, B, what they look like at home in a building that's going to be a lot of Laker fans, and C, if they can just take care of business and beat a team that, frankly, at this point, they should be beating. I'm really interested to see if we get one of those Anthony Davis games where he goes for 30-10, or is it, no, he just gets stuffed in a locker by Domas again.
Well, even games where he does go for 30-10, he still gets stuffed in a locker. I mean, against Domas. Because he's had games against Domas where you're like, hey, you're really, really impactful. All right, so tonight we got, for Lakers starters, we got D'Angelo Russell.
Sure.
We've got Austin Reeves.
Yeah.
We've got Rui Hachimura.
Yeah.
We've got Anthony Davis. And then LeBron James is questionable coming into the day. I don't know if LeBron will play or not. I'm going to guess LeBron will play and start and play 39 minutes. That's just my guess. Like, questionable literally means like nothing.
He's at 57 games, which means he needs 9 more, and they're at 66, so they have 16 games left. I think he's going to play exactly 66 games.
Hmm.
So he can rest a couple here.
Okay.
And it wouldn't shock me. Although, I mean, if that's really, I don't know that this is the plan for them. I don't know if they're really looking at this and going, okay, we're pretty comfortably in the play-in. The Rockets aren't going to gain 5.5 games on us in the next 16. So we're going to start gearing up. We're going to make sure LeBron is getting the rest that he didn't get carrying the team this season. We're going to make sure Anthony Davis is getting some rest and staying healthy. Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe it's not. But if it is, I can't imagine that tonight against Sacramento is one of the games that they're like, yeah, we can afford to lose this one. Unless they're just hell-bent on sticking in the 9 seed.
Yeah.
Which would be weird, but...
I don't think they really care where they are. Like, I do believe Anthony Davis when he says that. Like, it's just another game. They don't care. They still they can make a deep run. But at the same time, they just haven't been good, man.
Yeah, well, and that's it. They haven't been that good. No. And if you're that team and you're content going, don't care where we are, we can make a run from wherever. Yeah, if you're in the 9-10, you could have a bad shooting night and be out of the play-in.
Yes.
Why would it, I don't know why you wouldn't take every effort possible to be 8 minimum. Because then at least if you lose, you get a second chance.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, I'm with you.
I think you're right. I think he probably plays. Because it doesn't seem like it's one of those injuries. Like he played in the All-Star game and then sat out the first game after the All-Star break with this ankle injury.
That's weird.
It feels like they're just managing it at this point. It's not, you know what, I'm too sore to go today. It's just probably vibes.
Yeah.
Like, how's he feel pregame?
So when the Kings beat the Lakers last week, we had 44 from De'Aaron Fox. We had a 16-point, 20-rebound, 12-assist triple-double for Domantas Sabonis. You had Malik Monk with 26 points and 8 assists. And then this is a game where Davion came off the bench and hit 4-4 from 3. And you had some, you know, solid minutes from Harrison Barnes. So, like, if you need to replicate what you did last time.
Yeah, whatever that was.
Mm-hmm.
Just go out and do it again. And I don't think they did anything at Crypto.Arena Staples that they can't do again. That was just De'Aaron getting into the paint over and over again. It was Malik Monk getting into the paint over and over again. It was Domantas Sabonis dominating that matchup with Anthony Davis. Those are just all things they can keep doing. And then on top of that, Mike Brown brought this up last night. How many times do you think he said 20 sprays?
He said spray at least 47 times.
He said spray so many times.
Spray three.
Because their goal, and he said this in his presser, is 20 spray threes, where it's getting into the paint, kicking it out, because in that scenario, you're likely getting an open look because the defense has collapsed. It's
yep.
a kind of fundamental core of their offense, one of the fundamental pillars of their offense. So do you want to get 20 spray threes a game? Last night, they knocked down 10 of them. And that is a very, very good number. That's a number I think they can replicate against LA. At least the amount. I'm not going to say they're going to shoot 50% on those again because that's a tough standard to set.
Yeah.
But I think that they can create those looks again. It's just a matter of whether they can get enough stops defensively, if they can replicate that.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say that LA is just not a great defensive team. And
no.
Even their starting lineup has probably 3 guys that aren't great defenders. And that's why you see these types of numbers from the Kings starters.
Yeah. All right. We'll have more Sacramento Kings, LA Lakers coming up. We'll have keys to victory for the Kings. A big one. They need to get this win tonight. We will have more of that coming up right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Can we talk about starting lineups here for a second?
Of course we can.
I don't. Somebody in the chatty house asked this question. Shaka Zulu Galaxy Gaming.
Ooh.
Thanks for tapping in, Shaka.
Okay.
Honest question. Can we be more successful if Keegan is on the bench? No. Let me, no short answer, but I think this gets to an interesting question about what the Kings starting lineup looked like last night and how the Kings responded with that starting lineup last night. And then when you look at that and you look at how
Keon Ellis played, not only defensively, but just doing the right things offensively, leaking out and getting an easy bucket for a dunk. He knocked down an open three. When you look at how he impacted the game, and then you extrapolate that, you look and you go, man, he's been actually really good for the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Will Z, WillZStats.com, pointed out, you know what? Davion Mitchell is way better when he plays next to Keon Ellis as well. Keon Ellis is just this connector. He's a really, really good player for them. And it begs a question, for me anyway, why not just start Keon?
Yeah,
Over Kevin Huerter, by the way, not Keegan Murray. That would be the move I would make. You're moving Kevin Huerter to the bench, moving Keon Ellis into that starting lineup.
I get it, and I don't disagree. I mean, he gives you better range. He gives you better defensive presence. He gives you better energy. He's a really good three-point shooter, and it's something that, you know, even De'Aaron Fox has pointed out. He's shooting 37.6% on the season from mm-hmm. three. He can knock down a shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's the type of player that the Kings need moving forward. They need these 3-and-D active players. And, you know, we talk about the Bruce Browns of the world, you know, those types of guys, the Kentavious Caldwell Popes,
mm-hmm.
the guys who don't mind doing the dirty work and not getting all the glory, diving on the floor. Yep. Every once in a while, they grab a big rebound. Every once in a while, they come up with a huge defensive stop or a steal. And I get it. And I don't disagree with you. I just think that at this point, you're sort of pot committed for the 2023-24 season with the group that you had last year, the group that you have this year, and you run the risk of losing somebody. And I don't know that that's, you know, that you should be fully concerned about that.
Yeah.
But at some point, you do have to be a little bit concerned about it.
No doubt. The fact that Keon Ellis was as impactful as what, he was a plus 27, a team high.
Yeah.
Plus 27 while scoring 7 points.
Well,
that's hard to do, man. And it wasn't, oh, he was doing cardio. And no, he was impacting the game. Mike Brown got asked about this last night. And here is what he said on this. And it taps in a little bit to what I think you just said. And that's why I want to play it here.
No, I think, Keon, we can get him on the floor at any time. I think, you know, our starters have done a great job for most of the year. And I just have to keep trying to find opportunities to get him on the floor for longer stretches.
And that's valid because I think you're right in that if Mike Brown were to just do that, let's say tonight,
mm-hmm.
he goes, man, Keegan's ready to go. Kevin, you're sitting. Keon, you're starting. I think Kevin Huerter's gone. I think he's fried at that point.
Checked out. Yes. And
that is where a lot of this comes in, where I sit here and I go, I can sit there up in section 105 or wherever we are, and I can go, why not just start this guy? Like, look at how good he is. And Mike Brown talked about all the things he does well. He does this well. He does that well. The hustle plays, the fighting over screens. He can knock down a three. Offensively, he's good. Talks about all this stuff. And it's like, well, then why would you not want that guy? And it's that. It's what you just said.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, we'll just take Kevin Huerter and we'll put him on the bench. And then you have just some good bench scoring. Some good rebounding, a little distributing for Kevin. It's a good piece to have on the bench. That is not something that I think Kevin Huerter would be amenable to.
No, and I think that what you're doing is if you're installing Keon Ellis in the starting lineup, right now you have two players.
Mm-hmm.
If you make that move, you now have one.
No doubt.
And that one better be good enough to cover all the bases, because the other guy probably is gonna struggle after mm-hmm. that. And like that's the dynamic of being a head coach in the NBA.
It's tough, dude.
Like I know there are so many fans that are out there and they're just, you know, yelling and screaming on social media about every single thing that's going on with the Sacramento Kings mm-hmm. in every moment. And this might be the new thing that Keon Ellis should start, that the Kings are 5-0 when he does start.
Yeah.
But you're managing so many things as a head coach, personalities. You're managing expectations from the front office and ownership. You're managing all of these things. And at the end of the day, your goal is to win.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got to figure out a way to give his players the best opportunity to come away with a win, and each player within a larger group. Like, how do I find a way for Kevin Herter to help us tonight?
Yeah.
And clearly you have him come out firing. That's what we saw. And if he's not hitting, man, he misses his first four shots. I don't know how you can keep going back to him in a game. Yeah. But he comes in, he hits a couple of shots. Next thing you know, he's really active. I thought, again, he's still trying to play aggressive without fouling. And sometimes it looks really clunky because he's trying to be aggressive, but that aggressiveness is not who he is. And so,
correct.
You know, so it's almost like when you go out on a basketball court and you play with like a linebacker. And every time you try to go one way, he just like wraps you up and you're like, dude, that's a foul. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And so Kevin is trying to be that guy, but he's struggling to figure it out and how to play within the team, you know, the team defensive structure. Is he getting picked on? Sure. Like there are plenty of times where he is.
Yeah.
But I don't think the answer is just as easy as install Keon Ellis into the starting lineup.
I think Kevin Herter this is anecdotal. I'm not going to say leads the league. I think he has one per game, the foul, where when you're watching, you go, why did you do that? Last night, he fouled Giannis, where Giannis had inside position and elevated to lay it in, and Herter just whacks him on the arm. Like, that's so unnecessary.
Did he make the shot?
Yeah, he made it.
Yeah.
He gets an and one off of... Kev, you weren't going to block that.
Nope.
And getting beat by Giannis in the post is not the end of the world, man. No one's expecting you to win that matchup. And then whacking him on the arm, like that's double losing. So here's where I sit with this. Because the more I thought about it last night, I think that you're right. Okay, you can start Keon Ellis, but you run the risk of Kevin Herter, who has he been less effective this year than he was last year? No doubt. But has he been a useless NBA player? Not in the slightest.
No.
So you run the risk of him becoming that, though. If you put him on the bench and he does not respond well, and Mike Brown knows Kevin Herter infinitely better than I do.
Yeah.
I think he knows that if Mike Brown knew in a perfect world that Kevin Herter, or if Kevin Herter came to him and said, hey, Mike, Keon, we are a better team when Keon starts and when he's on the floor. Let me come off the bench. Let me get some shots with the second unit and let's mix it up that way. I think Mike would be super open to it. And maybe he wouldn't. Maybe he'd be like, no, because of X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw the response when he got benched in the preseason. Imagine getting benched in game 67 after you've been a starter for 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you in on a secret, though.
All right.
Not necessarily you. I'm letting people in on a secret I have. I think Keon is going to start a playoff game. Where, because that's a type of in-series adjustment where maybe the Kings go down 2-0, or maybe they're down 2-1, and Herter is a minus 16 in the first two or three games. And it's just really clear, like, man, he's getting picked on. Teams are game planning to get him in actions defensively. He's struggling with his shot as a result. I think that's where you might see an adjustment, because at that point, it's all hands on deck. You got to figure out how to win this series.
Yeah, it's we got to get through it.
Yeah.
So I don't disagree with you. I would add that, you know, Keon Ellis is now eligible to play in the playoffs, where he was not earlier in the season.
Keon eligible.
He is Keon eligible. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I mean, I think he's a player that gives you something different. It's a wrinkle that the Kings desperately need.
Mm-hmm.
It's the player type that you desperately need. He might be good enough to be that player, and you have to give it more time.
Yeah.
But you also have to understand he's a second-year player who was undrafted, who hasn't played all that much. Even his first year, he didn't play that much at all at the NBA level.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just different. He's got to learn each and every player. He's got to learn... offensive schemes and everything to a T.
Yeah.
And he's been there the whole time, all season long. He hasn't been back and forth between Stockton and Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always, it's always a risk messing with what you have. And maybe it's the right move, but it's also a move that becomes a lot more complicated and needs to be it's not just a head coach making a decision like that.
Knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah. This is something that has to be done. And you know, that's what Mike said last game, just to point it out. He said, I'm not going to do a knee-jerk reaction. And just because one player's had a couple of good games, one player's had a couple of bad games, I'm not going to do a knee-jerk reaction. The gravity of Kevin Huerter as a shooter still draws everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Keon Ellis can hit. He's probably his three-point shooting is probably a higher percentage than Kevin Huerter. But that doesn't mean that he has the same gravity that Kevin Huerter does as a shooter, the same reputation that the team's game plan to stop Kevin Huerter doing it. And so it's just different.
Yeah, teams are living with it if Keon Ellis is going to knock down four threes in a game.
Yep.
They're going, all right, hey, let him shoot that. We'll live with that. No doubt. I will say, last thing on this, you mentioned he has to, you know, learn the offense, learn the ins and outs. He hasn't been in this spot before. One of the things Mike Brown did mention with Keon last night is how ready he has stayed despite, okay, he's getting some minutes here. Okay, now he's going to be out for 2 weeks. Okay, now he's going to be in the rotation for 6 days. Okay, now he's going to be out of the rotation for a week. And he still has been a really, really consistent performer all year. That's why I have confidence that he can step in a bigger role and be effective. But to Mike Brown's point last night, that bigger role can come without mixing up the starting lineup.
Yeah.
And maybe you start seeing reduced minutes versus coming out of the starting lineup entirely. Because that stuff matters, man.
It does. Yeah. Well, that, and I would tell you, too, one last thing on this. Keon Ellis is exactly today in the NBA the same exact player he was in college, mm-hmm. the same exact player he was at the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he is. He's a defender. He's a 3-and-D guy. It's his path to the NBA. He understands his path to the NBA. He understands his role. He's going to stay in the box. He's going to do what it is that he's asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something there. It's a blessing to have a player who isn't trying to prove that he's the next Dame Lillard, that he's Keon Ellis, who does exactly what Keon Ellis is supposed to do.
Yeah, no doubt. Speaking of which, your Jiffy Lube Fast Break player of the game is Keon Ellis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an easy choice. You look at the box score and you're going to go, what? But if you watch that game last night, you know just how vital he was to helping the Kings get out to that big lead and then holding on to that big lead. So head to ESPN1320.com right now, and it's your chance to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and your chance to win a Sacramento Kings jersey. Go to ESPN1320.com. It's super easy. You go to the website. There's a Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page right there. You click on that, and you're going to enter the code word Keon. Just his first name, Keon. K-E-O-N. You enter that keyword and you will be entered to win a $100 Jiffy Lube gift certificate as well as a Sacramento Kings jersey. That jersey will be given away at the end of the month. We have two more to give away. We'll give away one at the end of this month, one at the end of the regular season. Get your entries in now and win that $100 gift certificate and that Kings jersey.
There you go.
ESPN1320.com. Code word Keon at the Jiffy Lube Fast Break contest page. All right. Real quick, before we hit the break, we're going to do some scoreboard watching next, but the 49ers and fullback Kyle Juszczyk have agreed to a restructured deal, as according to Adam Schefter, that will save the 49ers $1.75 million against the cap. Hey, you want to talk about a Keon Ellis-type player who just kind of does a little bit of everything and helps your team a lot?
Yep.
Kyle Juszczyk, of course, has been to a bunch of Pro Bowls in a row and this and that, and is maybe the best player in his position in the sport, but underappreciated, does a lot of the dirty work and helps the team a lot. That is a good work by the 49ers front office to come to a deal with the veteran fullback to keep him in red and gold. All right. Sacramento Kings last night got some help around the NBA. We'll take a look at the scoreboard. We'll take a look at the standings. And where should the Kings be shooting to finish? We'll talk about that next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.